Ja te ponovim, ako smo zadnjić gledali, ne zadnjić smo gledali šum s prijemne strane, ne? I smo rekli da šum je usota šuma antene, kar antena vidi neko starčo, kjer je tu prozivu antene, i šum kar ga dodanaš s prijemnih, ne ta s prijemnih ljudaj, kako šuma s prijemnika. S prijemnik ima neko poslovno širino, ne? Neko poslovno sito ima i moč šuma, ki jo dobimo ven, ne? Če imamo tukaj ojačanje, ne? Tista moč šuma na izhodu, ne? Rečem je ojačanje verige, krat pasovna širina, krat Boltzmannova konstanta, krat vsota temperatura, temperatura tene in temperatura mojega sprijemnika tukaj, ne? Zakaj smemo tako preprosto pisati s temperaturami, zakaj smemo seštevati? Šum je nekoreliran signal, se pravi, je isto, kako če bi imeli tukaj en generator šuma in tukaj generator šuma in ta dva sta nesinhronizirana med sabo. Za linearna vezja velja, če eno linearno vezje napajamo z generatorji različnih frekvenc, velja vsota moči. Moč, ki jo daje en generator, moč, ki jo daje drug generator, moči se štejemo. Kar ne velja, če so generatorji iste frekvence pa sinhronizirane med sabo. Če so sinhronizirane med sabo, moramo se števati kazalce, ne? Tukaj imamo dosti bolj preprosto vsoto seštevanje moči. So, to repeat what we said the last time, we are looking at noise in our receiving system. We have an antenna, we have a receiver that has an amplifier, has a bandpass filter. The noise we get, the output of this receiver consists of the noise generated inside this amplifier and the noise picked up by the antenna. The antenna sees a black body radiates something. The overall equation is simple summation. We sum the power of both noises. We sum the power of the noise collected by antenna and the noise collected by the receiver. Why we can do this? Because noise is an uncorrelated signal. So this noise source here is not correlated to this source here. These are two generators that are not synchronized in between. If a linear network is fed by two generators that operate at different frequencies, then the theorem of summing powers applies. We can simply sum the powers, the power of the first generator and the power of the second generator. This is not true if we have coherent generators. If we have coherent generators, then we have to sum the phasors of the voltages and currents and compute the powers. But for this, in the case of noise where generators are not correlated between them, then we can simply use this relationship that we sum the powers of noise. Okay, this noise of the antenna is available on the antenna connector, while this noise of the receiver is not available here. We are only referencing this noise here at the input of the receiver. Se pravi, ta šum sprejemnika ni prisoten na vhodu, tukaj na priključnih spokah imamo samo šum antene, ampak šum sprejemnika se dodaja noter, vedno ga pa preračunamo na vhodne sponke. Zakaj tu počnemo na vhodne sponke? Zato, ker tu ojačenje je lahko zelo veliko in to ojačenje je lahko tudi spremenljivo. Ne? To ojačenje, če bi narisal, tukaj se lahko precej spreminja. Why do we relate the noise of the receiver on the input, not on the output? Because the gain of the receiver may be very, very large, may be also variable, changing. For instance, receivers have an automatic gain control that reduces the gain if the input signal is too large. So it's much better to have the noise expressed at the input rather than the output. Though this noise from the receiver only appears at the output, it does not appear at the input. Zdaj, tega šuma nimamo na vhodu, je samo notranjost, ampak zaradi te spremenljivosti ojačanje v sprejemniku dosti krat tako pišemo stvari, tako ne bo. Tu bo različno tisto, kar bomo počeli čez en teden. So, next week, we are going to look at completely different effects. Noises, low level, low signals. Next week, we are going to look at distortion at high signal levels. Distortion is a coherent signal. With distortion, we'll have to sum not the powers, but the phasors. Z popačanjem, kar si bomo pogledali drug teden, bomo morali seštevati kazalce popačanja. Ne moči, zato ker popačenje je koherentno. Nastane enako popače v eni stopni, kako v naslednji odrečevalnika in moramo obat kazalčka se šteti skupaj. Ne pa moči se števati. Tukaj pa, ker imamo nekoherentne signale, se števamo moči.
Imamo še tisto per šumu, imamo tisto nesrečno mirsko enoto šumno število.
So with noise we have this strange, not really well-defined unit, noise figure, that's usually given in logarithmic units. This is 1 plus temperature of the receiver divided by our reference temperature, and this reference temperature is defined as 290 Kelvin.
Se pravi, tukaj imamo še to nesrečno mirsko enoto, šumno število, ki ni nič drugo kot šumna temperatura sprejemnika. So, the noise figure does not tell anything more than the noise temperature. It's just another way to express the same quantity. To je samo drugačen način, da isto veličino izražamo. Ne?
No, zdaj, zadnjič smo si pogledali, kakšne so šumne temperature antene. Ne? So, last time we looked at the noise temperatures of the antenna. So, the temperature of the antenna may be close to 290 Kelvin. If the antenna is pointed towards something on the ground. Antena bo blizu 290 Kelvin, če je zemlja tukaj. Ne? Če gleda antena v vesolje, ta temperatura je lahko od 10 Kelvin, pa tudi tja do 10 na 5 Kelvin, če je tu nebo. Ne? No, zdaj jasno, moramo pogledati, če se v takom veliko razponu spreminja 10 na 4 neka veličina, kje te stvari imamo. Ne? Tek 10 Kelvinu imamo praktično v pasu 1 GHz do 10 GHz. So the very low noise temperature, the sky noise temperature appears in the range 1 GHz to 10 GHz, that's good for satellite communication. Fortunately, na srečo ta zelo velik šum ga imamo samo na nizkih frekvencah, se pravi, tu imamo približno pri 10 MHz. Ne? In to je galaktični šum. Ne? Galaktični šum imamo, ampak nesrečo tisti ni toliko hud za nas. V tem uporabnem frekvenčnem področju imamo le zelo nizko šumno temperaturo neba, se pravi, lahko računamo še na toliko zmogljivejše zvezde. Nič nismo rekli o šumu sprejemnika. We didn't say anything about the noise coming from the receiver. What is the order of magnitude of this noise? Šum sprejemnika je vsekakor funkcija tega, na kakšni osnovi deluje sprejemnik. Se pravi, šum sprejemnika bo v velikostnem razredu tiste temperature, tistih gradnikov, ki jih v sprejemniku uporabljamo. So the noise of inside the receiver is a function of the temperatures, the components are working inside the receiver. Tukaj je zanimivo, da, dobro, če gledam tehniko, ne, tukaj, ta prva stvar, kar so bile, se pravi, šum. So, if we look at the noise of the components, what can we say here? Kaj lahko rečemo o šumu gradnikov? Bo približno velikost, se pravi, če pišem tukaj gradnik, šumno temperaturo oziroma šumno število. Ne? Kakšne gradnike imam? Ne? So if we just have an idea, to have an idea what the noise can be out of components. Tehnika se začne z vakumske cevmi. Ne? Trioda je taka. Triode, se pravi vakumske elektronke. Vakumske elektronke, mehanizem ojačanja elektronke se dogaja med katodo in mrežico. Katoda je segreta na zelo visoko temperaturo, da oddaja elektrone, ne? Ampak to tudi pomeni, da ta stvar bo precej šumela, ne? Se pravi, trioda ima mogoče temperaturo šuma tukaj nekje od 2000, pa tudi tja do, koliko bi rekel, 10.000. So, a vacuum tube may have a very large noise temperature corresponding to noise figures between 8 and perhaps 15 dB. Why? Because the vacuum tubes, this is a grid tube, the triode is a grid tube, the amplification process mainly happens within the kettle and the grid. And the kettle has to be heated up in order to amplify, to emit electrons. So this is something already working at high temperatures, that's the reason why this thing is noisy. No, imamo tudi elektronke, ki imajo hitrostno modulacijo snopa, se pravi, tu je bila elektronka, mrežca, ne? A grid tube, mrežca, ne? Imamo tudi elektronke, ki imajo hitrostno modulacijo snopa, kakor je cel napotujoči val, TVT, ali pa klistron. So, besides grid control tube, like triodes and other vacuum tubes with grids, we also have velocity modulated tubes. So we have a beam of electrons, and that beam of electrons is modulated in its velocity. This is usually in microwaves, like a traveling wave tube or klystron. Takšne cevi imajo še višje temperature šuma. Tukaj nekje lahko rečem, da gremo nekje od 3000 pa do 30.000. Kelvino, kar je šumno število nekje 10 do 20 decibelov, lahko tudi več. So, TWTs, even low noise TWTs are 10 dB noise figure for receivers. This was technology 50 years ago, but the first satellites used TWTs even in the receivers, the first communication satellites. Prvi komunikacijski sateliti so imeli celo nizko šumne TWT-je v sprejemniku, ampak tam je 10 decibelov šumno število za močnosti TWT-je okoli 20 decibelov. So, high power TWT for transmitters has a nice figure of 20 dB. Kar lahko še napišem zraven, koliko še dobimo mogoče ojačanja. What we could plot here is how much gain can we get, the gain of devices. No, in za triode imamo mogoče tam 10 do 15 dB ojačanja, to je master velikostni razred. Z TVT pa klistroni imajo lahko dosti večje ojačanje, imajo lahko tam 20 do 50 decibelov. Se pravi, tukaj imamo zelo visoko ojačanje, zaradi tega so bi take elektronke priljubljene. Z eno elektronko ste rešili celo dajnik ste naredili z eno elektronko. Prej ste se prišli noter z milivati, na koncu so bili kilovati. So šli, ne? TVT rečmo to omogoče. So, TWTs and klistron were much used in microwave technology, in vacuum tubes. Because they provided lots of gain. So you could solve the whole transmitter. You enter the TWT with a few milliwatts and you got tens of watts or even kilowatts of output out of the TWT. That's the reason why they were so useful. Jasno, dosti manj šumijo poprevodniški gradniki. Ne? Poprevodniški gradniki, se pravi, če imam bipolarni transistor, rečemo silici, NPN transistor, ne? Taka stvar šumi dosti manj, ta šumna temperatura je nekje v velikosti, ne vidimo, 100 do 300 Kelvinu, kar pomeni šumno število, mogoče tukaj 1,2 do 3 decibele. Ne? In ojačenje je tukaj tudi 10 do 15 decibelov. Ne? So, semiconductor devices, like silicon transistors, may have both polarities. Obe polaritete, tudi PNP transistori so dobili nizko šumje. Imajo dosti nižje, šum, zato ker stvar deluje pri nizkih temperaturah. We are not heating up a transistor. A transistor is something operating at low temperatures, and that's the reason why it produces little noise. Much less noise than vacuum tubes. But this is just related to the physical temperature of the device, excuse me. No, imamo tudi iz božjih poprevodnikov se lahko prvošmo še nižji šum. Ne?
Se pravi, dosti nižji šum, en polprevodnik, ki omogoča res gradnjo nizkošumnih tranzistorjev, je galijevzelit. Ali pa tudi hemp. So, a semiconductor that really allows low noise is gallium arsenide. I don't know now the physical reasons why, but compared with all semiconductors, the lowest noise is usually produced by gallium arsenide devices. Gallium arsenide is not the best device for high frequencies. For extremely high frequencies, indium phosphide is better, because it has higher mobility, but it has more noise. Indium phosphide has more noise, but operates at high frequency, while gallium arsenide is also a high frequency semiconductor, but it produces much less noise. At room temperature, pri sobni temperaturi imamo nekje od 30 tja do 100 kelvinov, oziroma tukaj šumno število, recimo, nič celih 4 tja do 1,2 decibela, pri tem spodobnem ojačanju 10 do 15 decibelov. Gallium arsenid omogoča res gradnike z nizkim šumom, ampak tu je lastnost poprevodnika gallium arsenida. Mogoče samo to, da omenim, zahlajen ali pa cool, ne? For a cooled transistor, for a cooled hemp, for instance, at 77 Kelvin, that's liquid nitrogen. Se pravi, če hladimo poprevodnik, recimo s tekočim dušikom, hemp, tekoči dušik ima so tukaj v sudu, imajo elektroniki, ali ima lahko nekaj vkrasti vkrasti. So we have a big bottle of liquid nitrogen here in between the two buildings. The electronic guys are using it, no, I don't know for what, but cooling down the hemp, we can have extremely low temperatures, say between 10 and 30 Kelvin. And even some more gain. The polski transistori, vključno skenti, s tem ojačanje veča z niženjem temperature. Tako da dobijamo tudi nekaj več ojačanja in izredno, izredno nizek šum. Ne samo, če morate nekaj hladiti, to je kup težav. So, having to cool something down is very inconvenient. We prefer not to do that. There are very few commercial products using coolers to cool down semiconductors to decrease the noise temperature. Ja, mogoče še ena stvar, kar je tak gradnik, ki boste kje zasledili, ki boste kje slišali, je parametrični ojačevalnik. Parametrični ojačevalnik zdaj lahko je tudi hlajen. So a parametric amplifier can also be cooled, but here the range is between 30 and 300 Kelvin, meaning so 0.4 up to 3 dB noise figure. Ojačanje je tam tudi 10 do 15 decibelov. Kaj je tu parametrični ojačevalnik? So just an explanation what a parametric amplifier is. Parametrični ojačevalnik uporablja nelinearen gradnik, ki je pa reaktiven. Ne? Tak gradnik je, na primer, varikap dioda. Varikap dioda je nereaktiven gradnik, je kondenzator in je nelinearen kondenzator. So a parametric amplifier is using a non-linear reactive device, not so lossless device, maybe a varactor diode. Tu je gallium arsenid varactor. In zdaj, če jaz ta gallium arsenid preko ena permirnega kondenzatora napajam z eno črpalko, bo ta stvar imela na nižjih frekvencah, tukaj notri, če gledam impedanco,
bo realni del od te impedance manjši od nič. Se pravi, obnaša se kakor negativen odpor. So what is the principle of operation of a parametric amplifier? We apply pump power to this nonlinear device from a high frequency source, say here maybe 60 GHz. Gallium arsenide reactor. And here this impedance is measured at say 4 GHz. At 4 GHz such a reactor may behave as a negative resistor. So some electric device. In zato, ker ta varaktor tukaj je čisto reaktiven gradnik, ne proizvaja šuma. So, since this being a completely reactive load, a capacitor, it does not include a resistor, so it is not producing noise on its own. But it behaves as a negative resistor because of this pump power, za te črpalke se obnašajo kar negativno zaporje. Takšni ojačevalniki so bili dokaj komplicirani, ne? Tukaj ponavadi, da ste iz tega naredili ojačevalnike, bo treba dati cirkulator, ne? A circulator usually had to be used to make an amplifier out of such a negative resistor. So this was input and this was output using a circulator. But it was complicated technology, but I have to mention it, say, to stay complete. This moram parametrične ojačevalnike moramo meniti, kje da ste kaj pročitali, kakšna stvar o njih, ampak stvar je, da nas izgine, enkrat mi je žal, eno bo všjako so prodajali, ena stara. Bude to tak narejen za ga hladiti s tekočim dušikom. Ampak mi je žal, da se stvari nisem kupil, kdo je za muzej. Said I didn't buy one at the flea market. It was so many years ago somewhere in Italy. Just to have it for my museum. This is a museum device, it's not current. We have much more important examples here to talk about. Imamo bolj pomembne primere, da se pogovarjate o njih, o gradniki, ki mi danes vsak dan uporabljamo. No, in en tak gradnik, ki ga vsak dan uporabljamo, je MMIC ojačevalnik. So what is an MMIC amplifier? This is, well, the parametric amplifier is something exotic. To je exotična stvar. MMIC ojačevalnik je pa vsak dan uporabljamo. To je gradnik, ki ponavadi vsebuje dva tranzistorja. In ta dva tranzistorja imate v okišju že uporovno povratno vezavo. So this is a component that includes already a resistive feedback. It's a small integrated circuit. In tu mi kupimo kot ojačevalnik. Ne zdaj se tu zdaj ojačevalnik. This is for us an amplifier. We buy it. This is a chip. No, in takšen MMIC ojačevalnik, kako ga uporabljam? Dobro, dam en sklopni kondenzator na vhodu, ne? Dam en sklopni kondenzator na izhodu. Here is RF input. Here is RF out. In tukaj, preka ene dušilke in ene opora, pripeljem napetost iz baterije. Te upori tukaj vnoter, se pravi, ta upor povratne vezave, R feedback, R emitorski, ne? Te upori so že tako izbrani, da so impedance, vhodne in izhodne impedance, zaključeni blizu 50 ohm. In to je gradnik tak za telebar. Ne? Vi kupiste gradnik, ga daste v vjezi, nemaste 50-omski očevalnik, samo napaja, ne mojte še prekopiti. Ne? To je danes nekaj. So, an MMIC amplifier is today a building block. This is an amplifier for dummies. To be clear. You buy this component, it costs 1 euro. A piece. You buy it, you put it in your circuit and it works. You don't think about the impedance matching because already was already done by the manufacturer. The manufacturer here fix the gain with the resistors and fix also the impedance matching. So, se pravi, tukaj proizvajalc takšnega ojačevalnika vam je že poskrbel za pravilne zaključitve impedanc, za pravilno delovno točko, za pravilno ojačenje, pravilno povratno vezavo, vse z upori. Ne? Se pravi, tukaj vam je vse proizvajalc že napravil, vi kakor telebani daste tu v vizije in to porabite. No in tak imamo cel ojačevalnik, ima tam nekje od danes od 10 do 20 decibelov ojačenja. So an MMIC may have from 10 to 20 dB of gain, set by these two resistors. R feedback and R meter. This is already set by the manufacturer. Tu, proizvajalci že tu naredil, da ima te upore že noter ugrajene, imamo in cel ojačevalnik. In to je gradnik, ki ga mi vsak dan uporabljamo. Za nasprotje od parametričnega ojačevalnika, ki je epizotika, to je pa stvar, ki vsak dan uporabljamo. Ampak, tukaj je zdaj nekaj narobe, ne? Kaj je narobe? Narobe je, da te upore dodajajo šum. So all these resistors inside the amplifier add noise. Because resistors generate noise if they are at a temperature different of absolute zero. Če so upori na temperaturi različne absolute ničle, ti upori proizvajajo šum in šum tazga gradnika je večji. Danes za sodobne ojačevalnike, jaz bi rekel, da je tu nekje v velikostnem razredu tam od 300 do 300. 300. Ja, do mogoče 2000 kelvinov, tako da šumno število je tukaj od 3 tja do 8 decibelov. So the noise performance of an MMIC amplifier is not that good because of this resistor. Tu je treba vedeti per MMIC ojačevalniku. Tu je sicer gradnik za telebane, ga ugradimo noter. Dosti krat je tudi proizvajalec rešil problem stabilnosti. So, on many occasions, the manufacturer of the MMIC amplifier already thought about the stability problem. So, he solved the stability of the amplifier with this resistor, with this feedback. If this is true, we are going to see it on Monday. V ponedeljek bomo videli, ali je tu res ali ne. Bomo MMIC ojačevalnike dali na vektorski analizator vezi, bomo izmerili vse parametre in poskušali izračunati faktor stabilnosti K, ali to drži ali ne. So this is something we have to do Monday in the lab. We have to test such MMIC amplifiers on the network analyzer, measure the S parameters and trying to compute the K stability factor to see whether they are really unconditionally stable or not. What the manufacturers usually claim they are unconditionally stable. In practice, this is not true. MMIC is, in some conditions, like the oscillator.
Koliko pa šumna števila zdaj z razvojem v zadnjih letih se še kaj izboljšujejo?
Ne, se ne izboljšujejo, tukaj so določene upori tukaj. Sicer smo tukaj pri decibeli, ampak se ne izboljšuje zaradi uporu v MMIC ojačevalniku, ker tukaj so upori, ki šumijo. Ampak mi smo tu plačali, zato da smo lahko v telebani, da vzamemo košček in ga damo vezi in to dela. In ne razmišljamo. Ne? Tukaj pa treba razmišljati. So, what happens with the components we have? Here we need not to think. We just buy the component, we put it on the circuit, and it works. Here, we have to think how to do the impedance matching, how to solve the stability problem, and so on. So, if you want good performance, we have to work. If we are just happy with an amplifier as it is, then we can use this one. This is the end of the story. No, nekaj, kar se ljudje hrozno radi uporabljajo, še posebno elektronike, če vprašate, je operacijski ojačevalnik. So, at lower frequencies, we frequently use operational amplifiers. Operational amplifiers have extremely high gains. And the people in electronics like to use them, like to think about amplifiers. If I ask here a student of electronics here to design an amplifier, he's not going to use a transistor, he's going to put an operational amplifier. Če sprašaš študenta, kako se naredi ojačevalnik, nizkofrekvenčen, on bo dal operacijski ojačevalnik, on sploh ne bo uporabljal transistorja, ne? Ker to so se pač ošili v šoli, ne? Kaj je to operacijski ojačevalnik? Kakšne so posledice, kakšni so kompromisi? So what are the consequences, what are the trade-offs using an operational amplifier? An operational amplifier, if you learned at school, probably you learned that has a high gain, that should have a high input impedance, should have a low output impedance. All this is true, all this can be done. Se pravi, operacijski računalnik ne bi imel visoko jačanje, ne bi imel visoko vhodno impedanco, zelo visoko, ne bi imel zelo nizko izhodno impedanco, vse to je v držini, vse to se da naredi. Samo pozabili smo na glavno stvar. But we forgot something. We ask for many things in the operational amplifier, but we forgot to ask about noise. And if you optimize the circuit, the internal circuit of the operational amplifier for noise, for other parameters, the one that's going to suffer is noise. Tisto, kar bo trpelo, bo tukaj šum. Šum pri operacijskem računalniku je katastrofalna zadnjič. So, the noise performance of an operational amplifier is terribly bad. So here we may start with 30,000 Kelvin going up to 10 to the 8 Kelvin. In decibel, this is from 20 dB up. So operational amplifiers usually have an extremely bad noise performance. No matter that your manufacturer says it's a low noise operational amplifier. It's a noise device. To je tudi, če piše v katalogu, da je low noise operacijski računalnik, to je izvor šuma. Operacijski računalniki so izvor šuma, zato ker so bili optimizirani za vse druge stvari, za visoko vhodno impedanco, za nizko izhodno impedanco, za visoko jačanje. Ja, ker ste optimizirani za toliko drugih stvari, tisto, kar je trpelo, je šum. Ne, o šumu ni noben razmišljal. So with noise, with operational amplifiers, usually the designers of the internal circuits, of the integrated circuits, usually thought about the high input impedance, the low offset voltage, the high gain, the low output, so many requirements, but they forgot the noise. Even if you buy a so-called low noise operational amplifier, you'll never get below 20 dB of noise figure. This is a noise generator. An operational amplifier is a source of noise. No, kadar smo tukaj per šumu, še nekaj moramo povedati. Ne? Da vse te stvari, kar sem tukaj pisal, ne, so mišljene kakor visokofrekvenčni šum. At high frequency. This noise was intended at high frequencies. At low frequencies we have different noise mechanisms. Tu je toplotni šum, ne. Thermal noise. So at high frequencies we only have thermal noise, but at low frequencies we have other noise mechanisms. Pri nizkih frekvencijah imamo še druge dodatne pojave šuma. Ne? No in če bi jaz zdaj, če sem pošten, moram tukaj narisati graf, da boste videli približno, kaj se dogaja. Če pišem tukaj logaritemsko skalo za frekvenco, so, in tukaj pišem logaritemsko skalo za temperaturo. Temperatura, ta tukaj, ne? So the temperature of our receiver and here the logaritmic scale for frequency. What happens? Kaj se zgodi? Ja, smo rekli, tukaj en škemp, ne, ima lahko zelo nizek šum, ne? Hent ima zelo konizek šum, se pravi hent. Ima lahko 30 kelvina, ne? Za visoke frekvencije. Ampak, pri nižjih frekvencijah se ta krivulja nekje zlomi in začne naraščati tukaj ena z F šum, ne? So at lower frequencies, the 1 over F, 1 over F noise takes over, this is also called shot noise. Se pravi, tu je tudi ena z F šum, ne vem kako kakšen izraz drugi je poslovečen. In z hemt se tu zgodi pri razmeroma visokih frekvencah, ta prelom se zgodi pri frekvencah približno 1 MHz. Če pa pogledam za bipolarni transistor, pravi, napad na transistor, ima mogoče 100 kelvinov šuma, ne? Ampak za bipolarni tranzistor
se ta krivulja zlomi dosti kasneje.
Pri nižjih frekvencah približno pri 1 kHz. So for a bipolar transistor it has a higher noise call frequencies and we are talking about high frequencies here. But this corner frequencies, so this is called also the corner frequency for one of rare noise. It's much lower, it's around 1 kHz. While the corner frequencies for the hand is much higher, it's about 1 MHz. Kje je zdaj razlog tukaj noter, da se tu zdogodi? Razlog je v sami strukturi poprevodnika, v njegovem delovanju. In sicer hand in podobni gradniki delujejo na površini. To je površinski poprevodnik, ki je imamo mejo poprevodnik zraka ali pa kovina ali karkoli drugega. Ne? Medtem ko NPN tranzistor smo pa ga dobili z difuzijo, se mehanizem ojačenja dogaja globoko v poprevodniku. Ponevali razni mehanizmi prebojev neenakomernega toka in tudi se vse dogaja na površini. So what is the reason for this different behavior of the two semiconductors? Two different semiconductor devices. The difference is in the principle of operation of these devices. So if we have hands, but not just hands, if we have GaSFETs, even if we have a silicon MOSFET, all these devices actually achieve their gain on the surface. This is a surface device. That's the interface between the semiconductor and metals or oxide or something like that. But it's on the surface. And this surface effect, also Schottky diode is here. Tu Schottky diode je tukaj, znači je tukaj, znači je tukaj. Medtem ko, če imamo, on the other hand, if we have bulk devices, NPN transistor has junctions deep in the bulk of the semiconductor. There are no such effects and there's much less noise. So this is not just NPN transistor, it may be also the other polarity, PNP transistor, PN diode, also junction FET. Junction FETs also have a low noise because a junction FET, the amplification process of the junction FET is deep inside the semiconductor, it's not on the surface, far away from the surface of the semiconductor. And these are really surface problems that raise the 1 over F noise. Se pravi, če imamo poprevodnike, ki imajo svoj mehanizem ojačenja globoko v notranjosti poprevodnika, recimo bipolarni tranzistori, PN diode ali pa spojni FET, ne, te imajo vse ojačenje se dogaja globoko v poprevodniku in tega šuma pri nizkih frekvencah. No, zdaj pa ste rekli, zakaj vam pa razlagam tukaj nizke frekvence se predmet je visoko frekvenčna. Why am I discussing these things? This is high frequency technology. Why am I discussing at low frequencies? What happens at low frequencies? In amplifiers, we do not have such a problem. So, če delamo sprijemnik, težav ni tukaj. Sprijem dela pri visokih frekvencah in smo tukaj. Ne? Ampak naši gradniki potrebujejo tudi oscilatorje. V oscilatorju pa pride do mešanja in se ta šum meša na višje frekvence. So, our devices do not include just radio frequency amplifiers, they include oscillators, that include mixers, and this 1 over F noise in all these, in all non-linear devices, non-linear operating modes, modes is usually up-converted to the high frequencies. We will see later on in a few months when discussing the noise of oscillators, the phase noise of oscillators, then this 1 over F noise is a big problem, even in microwave oscillators. Tudi v mikrovalovnih oscilatorjih to je ena zelo šum rada težava, zato ker na nelinearnosti gradnika se meša na više frekvence. Ne? Ta gradnik tukaj, na vhodu sprijemnika, pa deluje popolnoma v linearnem režimu. So this one is working in a linear mode, while in oscillators, in mixers, in multiplier stages, v oscilatorjih, v mešalnikih, v množilnih stopnjah, kadar uporabljamo gradnik v nelinearnem režimu, takrat pride do mešanja in mešanje nam lahko ta šum preslika, prestavi na višje frekvence. Ja, zdaj, če imamo en gradnik, ne, vprašanje je, kako zdaj mi ta gradnik uporabimo. Se pravi, če bi mi gradi gradili ojačevalnik, ne, imam transistor, ne, in zdaj jaz na vhodu moram narediti verjetno eno impedančno prilagoditev. In na izhodu tega tranzistorja moram narediti neko impedančno prilagoditev. Ne? So, if I'm building an amplifier now with a transistor, I should do some impedance matching at the input and some impedance matching at the output. We saw some of this problem with the S parameters, and do not want to go into details about S parameters. I didn't do it 2 weeks ago. Nisem šel podrobnosti s parametrov. Tukaj nisem namenoma nisem narisal baterij za delovno točko. So in this circuit here I intentionally omitted any bias circuits. Of course you need a bias to make a transistor work. Jasno, da rabiste za delovno točko rabiste še kondenzatorje, tuljave, vir. For a bias you need capacitors, chokes, power supplies and so on. I omitted bias. Ampak zdaj vprašanje naše je to, kako naredimo to impedančno prilagoditev, da bo naš ojačevalnik res manj šumel. Ne? So how to make this impedance matching to reduce the noise of our amplifier. In zdaj pridemo na tiste težke stvari za razumeti, da šumna prilagoditev ni močnostna prilagoditev. Se pravi, če ojačevalnik prilagodim z šum, ta ojačevalnik ne bo dal največjega ojačenja. Če ga prilagodim za največje ojačenje, ojačevalnik ne bo imel najnižjega šuma. So, this impedance matching here is now something a little bit difficult to understand. If I do the matching for the highest gain, the noise performance will not be very good. On the other hand, if I do the impedance matching for the lowest noise of this amplifier, the gain will not be the best. Gain and noise are two different independent quantities. Se pravi, šum in ojačanje sta dve med sabo neodvisni veličini in če vezi optimiziramo za enega, ni optimizirano za drugega in obratno. No, kaj moramo razumeti pri šumu, ne? So what we have to understand with noise? With noise, if we have our active device, this active device, we can think about a voltage source here that provides, includes a noise voltage, and a current source that puts in noise current. Se pravi, moramo se zamišljati, da je naš brezšumni transistor, če gradimo en model s brezšumnim tranzistorjem, temu brezšumnom tranzistorju moramo dodati napetostni vir šuma in en tokovni vir šuma. Ne? In te dva sta nekorelirana med sabo. Ne? So these two noise, we model our transistor using a noiseless transistor, and including a voltage noise source and the current noise source. These two voltage and current noise sources are uncorrelated between them, and they are uncorrelated to the parameters of the noiseless, the fictional noiseless transistor. Vse te stvari zdaj otežujejo obravnavo šuma, kako se šum dogaja v samotranzistorju, jaz bi moral poznati in napetost tega šumnega vira in tok tega šumnega vira. Ne? So I should know two quantities, the noise voltage here and the noise current here, to be able to model the noise behavior of microsystem. Kar uporabljajo proizvajalci? Uporabljajo tako imenovane šumne parametre. So, the manufacturers of semiconductor device, they are using the so-called noise parameters. In šumni parametri so trije. Prvi je minimalno šumno število. So the first parameter is the minimum noise figure the device can achieve. Minimalno šumno število, ki ga lahko dosega transistor. Potem imamo podatke, jasno tu je prvo določeno v bias. Predoločene delovni točki, ne? So these noise parameters are given for a given bias of the transistor, a given operating point, so many volts, so many milliamps to the transistor. To je za določeno delovno točko, toliko volt, toliko miliamperov na transistor. Ne? Minimalno šumno število, gamma optimalni je optimalni, optimalni gamma generator je, in še RN je šumni radij. Ali pa šumna upornost tudi. Ne? No, šum celotnega transistora se potem zapiše tukaj, tukaj minimalni. In tukaj zdaj, zakaj tako pišejo, tako so se dogovorili. 4 krat ta Rn deljeno za ZK našega sistema. Ne? Na vrhu je gamma generatorja, manj gamma optimalni absolutni vrednostni kvadrat. Spodaj imam ena manj absolutna vrednost gamma generatorja na kvadrat in ena in gamma optimalni na kvadrat. Je kvadrat notra zunaj, to sem pa že pozabil.
Zunaj.
Jasno, vse tebe morajo biti v linearnih enotah. Ne v decibelih, ne? V linearnih enotah morajo biti tam šumna števila. In zdaj, določeni proizvajalci vam dajo te šumne parametre, ampak jaz mislim, da je tukaj v glavno na Hamlet Packard proizvajalca bil vezan, ker oni so tukaj. So, the noise could be really expressed in a different way and not all manufacturers will give you all the three parameters for the transistor. Most manufacturers only give you the minimum noise figure. Only, I believe, Hamlet Packard with his transistors, with their transistors, and with their instrument, their test equipment, they're trying to sell the test equipment. They are also giving the other two parameters. Right, daj vidite te šumne parametre za druge gamma optimalni. No, gamma optimalni še, ampak te je ta šumna upornost, ta pa res. So, optimum matching of the general, optimum gamma of the generator, this usually may be given with some manufacturers, but this noise resistance, this is a really rare occurrence. Only a few manufacturers will give you this data. Kakšen krat tudi tega tukaj nadomestijo sam data sheet smeri place this by the normalized noise resistance, which is a noise resistance divided by ZK. Mi smo imeli po starom programu radiokomunikacije, smo imeli tudi eno laboratorska vaja, še so studenti tu zbirali, samo danas imam toliko snovi, da se tega ne moram provažiti. So the old study program, we had an exercise for students to measure actually these parameters, but currently we don't have the time to do all these things. Kar je treba razumeti je, da ta prilagoditev, ne, ta
imajo.
Ta tukaj, ne? Z šumno število, ne? Je zelo različen od gama optimalni z K. So this optimum generator reflectivity for the best noise figure is much different from the optimum gamma for the best gain. Kaj to pomeni? To pomeni, če nam jaz recimo kupim en nizkošumni ogrevalnik. I buy a low noise amplifier. And if I measure here the S11 or gamma input, ta stvar je ponavadi zelo različna od nič. So for a low noise amplifier, the input matching may be pretty bad. Celo se lahko zgodi, da za zelo dobre ogrevalnike ta S11 celo se zgodi, da je večji od ena. So, the amplifier makes unstable. The low noise amplifier frequency are unstable. But they are excellent low noise amplifiers. Se pravi, imamo lahko odlične nizkošumne ogrevalnike, ki imajo zaradi teh stvari, kar sem vam opisal, da gamma optimalni za šumno število ni enak gamma optimalni za ogrevanje. Ima ojačevalnik sicer odlično šumno število, ampak njegov S11 je večji kot ena. Stvar je potencijalno nestabilna. So this frequently happens with really low noise devices, such as used at input of very sensitive receivers, like for satellite communication, that it's S11 at the input, maybe even unstable, maybe larger than one. So this does happen, and these amplifiers are completely useful, provided they are connected to a valid antenna. Se pravi, če takšen ojačevalnik priključimo na eno dobro prilagojeno anteno, je vse v redu, bo ojačevalnik deluje. Je pa ojačevalnik potencijalno nestabilen, ne? Zato, ker ima S1 več kot hrana. Ampak tu se z nizkošumnimi gradniki zelo pogosto zgodi. Tu se treba zavedeti, da tu se dogaja, ne? Neko, kar napišejo vam v knjigi, tako kot profesor Kostel, če imamo pa nestabilen transistor, pa vzamemo druga. Ne, nimamo druga, on je to najboljši, kaj imamo. Ne? Usually, the best the noise performance, the lower the temperature here, the higher the S11. Običajno, boljši gradnik, kot imamo, nižja temperatura, kot ima, bolje on divji. Ne? So, the good devices are the wild ones here. In to se je treba zavedati, ne? Recimo se je zgodilo 30 let nazaj, kar se je lotila tukaj satelitska televizija. Ne? Ja, za satelitsko televizijo rabite takšen ojačevalnik, ki ima res nizek šum. Ne? In Japonci so to naredili. In v Evropi so tisto prepovedali prodaje. Zakaj? Zato, ker stari poštarski predpis iz časov starih analognih FDM linkov, ker ste imeli parabolo na stolpu, 50 metrov valovoda, pa pole sprijemnik. Kakršenkoli odboj ste imeli tukaj, vam je naredil valovitost in valovitost se vam je pri analognem frekvenčnem multipleksu preslikalo presluho. In zaradi tega so imeli izredno strog predpis. In te evropski poštarski uradniki, ki so tu videli, a ne, tu pa ni prilagojeno, tega se nasmejo valiti v Evropo. So what happened about 30 years ago? The 30 years ago, satellite TV started. With satellite TV, we are actually here, if we have very good transistors, and the Japanese were able to make very good transistors and make very good satellite receivers. But these receivers could not be imported to Europe because the European post office clerks looked at their specifications and said, no, micro receiver should have very good matching, because microwave receivers are used with a dish on the mast, 50 meters of waveguide, and then there's a receiver. Any reflection we have from the receiver back on this 50 meters of waveguide caused some ondulation in the passband. This ondulation of the passband in an analog frequency multiplex like used in telephony 50 years ago, before the digital systems, caused crosstalk. And we shouldn't do this, so this is, should not be imported to Europe.
European manufacturers like Philips
put on their advertisement that they are going to put a circulator in front of the LNA. A circulator with a mesh load used as an isolator to improve the matching, just to comply with the stupid, very stupid requirements of the post office. The German Bundespost is the ruler in Europe in this respect. Of course, they never produce any of those converters because it's useless. With the satellite TV, you have the converter directly on the antenna feed. There is no line length. There is no ripple on the passband because of this poor matching. We need good noise figure, as forget the satellite. We don't need good noise. And this was a real story, happened 30 years ago, that really happened this. This stupid requirement of the European post offices. We have a very old saying dating back to the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Here we were 100 years ago, we were still the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Here. In the Austro-Hungarian Empire, we had an old saying, I have to explain this for the Spanish girls, that if you are unable to do anything useful in your life, then take a job with the railway or with the post office. Today we should change the statement. If you have, if you really are unable to do anything useful in your life, then take the job with the railway, the post office, or the telecom. They're all the same.
Nardima Admar, let's make a break.